Bloomberg on the Weekend continues. I'm Charlie Pelletier. It's 47 minutes past the hour. More now of Bloomberg View with former New York Senator Al D'Amato and Frank Wilkinson of Bloomberg View. As always, the opinions expressed are their own. In this segment, we focus on Donald Trump and international relations. Vice President Biden out doing damage control last week, telling Baltic leaders the U.S. will stand by its NATO commitments and allies should ignore Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. Is it troubling to anyone that Biden is telling U.S. allies that comments from Trump are, quote, nothing that should be taken seriously? Al D'Amato, like him or not, Trump is the Republican Party nominee.
Well, I think that it is essential that we assure our allies that we will keep our commitments, irrespective of this election and what Donald Trump says or doesn't say. I think we have a big problem that exists out there. And I think we have to demonstrate to our allies that when we make a commitment, we are prepared to keep it. They don't believe that. And I'd say just look at the record. The record has been replete with saying one thing and doing another. We go back to the early days of the Syrian hostility. We say if we find chemicals being used, etc., that's a red line, and we'll do something. Well, we did nothing. We blither. Take a look at our former ally, and I say former, in the Middle East, Egypt. What do? We support the so-called the happy days, and knock out the Egyptian government, and then when we get the Brotherhood there running the place, when there is the army throws the Brotherhood out, what do? We threaten to cut off aid to them. I mean, are we out of our mind? First of all, they were a strategic ally as it relates to controlling a substantial part of that area, keeping the Syrians under control, keeping Hezbollah under control, etc., aiding the security to our only real ally there, Israel. So how can anybody feel confident? Take a look at what's happening on the ground right now. We sent almost 100 plus troops, and they are getting blown up. We lost two of them, etc. If you're going to send in people to help, send them in. Don't make this political. Don't run a war by the politicians, etc. Those people shouldn't have died by bombs on the roadside. There are methodologies of coming in if you put in enough people to clear the roads of those bombs. And so we have not demonstrated to our allies, irrespective of their concerns about Donald Trump, they're concerned about can we count on them now, this administration.
Frank, on the Trump issue and foreign policy, was it right for Biden, though, to be out there criticizing the Republican nominee?
It's not ideal. I think in a normal circumstance, you wouldn't want that. And I'm not even sure in this case it was warranted. I mean, those assurances were certainly delivered privately beforehand when Trump first raised the notion that he wouldn't necessarily support the Baltics if they were attacked by Russia. The problem is that, you know, Biden and Obama don't get to say what happens in 2017. So their assurances have a time limit on them. The most assurance you can give, I think, our NATO allies right now are the poll numbers that show Trump down, because that will make them feel more secure. But, this is not Biden's call. 2017, it's over for Biden and Obama in the White House, and someone else will be calling the shots. So, that is probably not going to assure them all that much anyways. The poll numbers seeing Trump down that I think would make them feel more confident.
Yeah, now central to all of this, how dangerous is it for Donald Trump to be raising questions about U.S. commitments to NATO?
I don't think it's a, a good thing. I think that there's a way to say that we may look for increased participation economically from our NATO allies, and that's fair because some have not been participating at the level that they should be, and that's okay. But we need to let people know that we're not going to just turn and run. I don't think that's his intent, but some people look at it that way. And that's not a good policy, either governmentally, militarily, or politically.
Another big story last week, the Clinton Foundation drawing fresh scrutiny with an AP story that more than half of private individuals who met with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State ended up giving to the Clinton Foundation. Trump has called the foundation, quote, the most corrupt enterprise in political history. Frank Wilkinson, this story isn't going away, is it?
No, it won't go away, and it shouldn't go away. I mean, Trump is nonsensical as usual, and that's ridiculous hyperbole, but it is a problem. And, you know, on the one hand, you have political reality, which is that rich and powerful people have access to political leaders. They do in the Republican Party, they do in the Democratic Party, they do it in cities, in states, and in the federal government. I mean, that is the way it works. That said, you don't have to make it easy, and you don't have to completely be blind to the conflicts of interest and the essential, you know, distastefulness and sleaziness of that. So you have to set up precautions, you have to set up barriers, and the Clinton Foundation is going to be a constant sore until the Clintons are no longer running it, or, you know, if she is in power, if she's in the White House, or she's not in the White House and they can continue to do what they do. But it's the combination of access to power and the donors that is going to be a continuing source of discussion and a problem for her, and rightly so.
Yeah, Al, we had Trump's running mate, Mike Pence, calling for a special prosecutor to look into possible corruption. Is that something that's likely to happen? And if it does happen, how much could a probe like that wind up hurting the Clinton campaign?
Well, it's not very likely because by the time you appointed a special prosecutor and he or she got underway, even if they are the most thorough, competent, etc., the election will be over. So that's one. Two, I think the fact is that they should not be in this business as long as they're tied into politics, because you're going to have these situations, even if they are innocent situations, the appearances take on the sleaze factor, the corrupt factor that may or may not exist. Number three, legitimate foundations have a right to seek access to power because they're legitimate. They're not tied to politics. They're tied to doing charitable work, etc. And so they're in carrying that work out, they will be seeking help throughout the world and throughout all of the politics that exist in the world. That's not the case here. This is set up by politicians. They're running it like a political organization. It smells. It's wrong. And it should cease and desist. And they turn over their charitable activities to whether it's the Gates people, the Ford Foundation. There are any number of legitimate things. But stop running it yourself like a political organization, like a patronage organization. And that's what it's been doing. And it smells. It stinks. And I haven't even gotten into asking the questions, which the media should be asking. Is it true? Did you get $135 million or a pledge from the wealthy Canadian on behalf of the Russians coming in and buying what? In order to make an atomic bomb, what do you need? Tell me, Frank.
I think you're going to say uranium.
You need uranium. And so we sell a uranium plant to the Russians? Now, should that have taken place? I don't think so. And so they say, well, Hillary was only one of six people on the committee. Her voice would have stopped that. That decision then would have had to go to the president. So her designee voted to permit it. Did that happen or didn't? I think the American people should know. Did they then have a second meeting, another committee meeting, to determine whether or not the uranium should be exported? Yes or no? That's a pretty easy thing to find out. And the media isn't doing a damn thing to expose the truth or falsity. If it's a false claim, then debunk it, knock it out. And again, her designee, you see, she didn't do it, but her designee. By the way, do you think her designee voted the way she instructed the designee? Yes or no? I think so. And her designee did that. And the uranium now is being exported. Number three, did the Russians soon thereafter make a sale to who? Iran. Is that important? I think it is. And by the way, if it's true, that in and of itself should disqualify her from holding any office. If it's true, let's find out. But no, the media has such a distaste, and I understand it, for her opponent, that they're helping. This is a cover-up, and it's wrong.
We got to leave it there. Former New York Senator Al D'Amato, Frank Wilkinson of Bloomberg View. As always, the opinions expressed are their own. I'm Charlie Pellett. This is Bloomberg on the Weekend. It is now 58 minutes past the hour.